grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In our risen and ascended Lord, dear friends, we've come here this afternoon to give thanks to Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, for the work and the life of Donald Lee Weber, and to commend him to the mercy of God, trusting not our own merits, but the merits of Christ Jesus, our Savior, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body, according to that power which enables him to subdue all things to himself. Our Savior congregation has special reason to thank God for Don, because he was for nearly 60 years the organist and choirmaster in this church he loved so well. To give you some sense of how long Don served here, let me say that when Don began his work here, your preacher was a schoolboy at City College High School across the street and up the hill. And then when I was installed as pastor of Our Savior Church just 8 years ago this month, Don was still serving as organist here. Well, it's no secret that the relationship between clergy and musicians isn't always an easy one, and that's putting it mildly. But I was, and I remain, very grateful for Don, a gratitude I can scarcely express in words. For one thing, our tastes in church music were very compatible. I'll never forget my first Christmas Eve here with Don at the organ. For his prelude, he had chosen Johannes Brahms's marvelous prelude on the old familiar Christmas carol, "Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming." And for his postlude, a J.S. Bach choral prelude on one of the very oldest carols, "In Dulce Jubilo," which is perhaps better known by its English name, "Good Christian Friends Rejoice," or "Now Sing We Now, Rejoice." I just love both of those simply wonderful organ works, and I was just delighted with Don's choice of prelude and postlude, and in fact, he played them every year for Christmas at Our Savior. And then on Easter Day, we'd always sing Don's favorite Easter hymn, "Christ is Risen, Hallelujah," a hymn we'll sing right after this sermon. This was, in fact, the invariable opening hymn on Easter Day throughout the long and distinguished pastorate of Adolf John Steemke, who served this church from 1924 until 1961. And what a triumphant hymn of Christian hope, that well-loved hymn, truly is. For our hope of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come isn't grounded in wishful thinking or plausible speculation, but on the fact that, as our Eastern Orthodox fellow Christians sing at Easter, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and on those in the tombs, bestowing life. Writing to the church in that cosmopolitan seaport town of Corinth, with all its debauched life and its skeptical minds, St. Paul had this to say: if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And so, we are full of hope for dawn. Cleansed from all sin in the saving waters of holy baptism, again and again receiving Christ's pardon in holy absolution, and fed in holy communion with the true body and the true blood of the crucified and risen Lord, the medicine of immortality, dawn now rests in the nearer presence of the Savior he loved and served so well, and together with us awaits the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come, when at that last and great day, the risen and ascended Lord will appear in glory to judge the living and the dead and make all things new. That great and glorious hope for the transformation of the whole creation, which we cannot now begin even dimly to imagine, but of which the bodily resurrection of Jesus is the beginning and also the sure and certain promise. As St. Paul writes to the church in Rome, creation itself will then be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. Vladimir Lossky expressed this truth in a wonderful way when he wrote, "An infinite ocean of light flows from the body of the risen Lord. An infinite ocean of light flows from the body of the risen Lord. And because Christ is risen, we Christians rejoice even in the very real sorrow of having lost someone who has been so dear to so many of us in so many different ways." I believe that this Church of our Savior, with its organ and its choir, was in a very real sense the center of Don's life. He loved his Savior. He loved this church of our Savior, and he loved the music of the church's worship. And both as an organist and in his work as choirmaster, he was able to express both his love for the Savior and also for those who came to this church in days of greatest joy and deepest sorrow. And in his music, he expressed that joy in a way no words can ever do, and also expressed sympathy and compassion for those who mourn. All of us know the power of music to express what no words can express: our greatest joy, our deepest sorrow. Week before last, I came across in my reading some words of Philip Honnecourt, who had adapted some words of that formidable philosopher, Ludwig Wittgenstein. Wittgenstein had written, "What one cannot talk about, one must remain silent about. What one cannot talk about, one must remain silent about." And then Honnecourt goes on to say, "What one cannot talk about, one can, indeed must, make music about if one cannot be silenced." And then there are those memorable words of Haydn, who said of his church compositions that he felt a particular joy when thinking about God. And Haydn went on to say that even when he was composing music for that great penitential psalm, the Miserere, "Have mercy upon me, O God," Haydn said, "As I came to utter the words of supplication, I could not suppress my joy, but loosed the reins of my elated spirits and wrote Allegro over the Miserere, O God, have mercy." Yes, music expresses what no words can express, and music points to the mystery beyond all knowing, the mystery of God, who is beyond all human understanding, but who was found in the manger in Bethlehem and on Calvary's cross, where he accomplished everything that needed to be done so that wounded and broken and sinful human beings like you and like me and like Don might live in the calm peace of sin forgiven and through his glorious resurrection in the sure and certain hope of that heavenly city where, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, with all the redeemed and with our brother Don, we shall forever sing the praises of the Lamb that was slain and has redeemed us unto God by his blood, to whom be all honor and glory, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, both now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.